Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
This morning's reading is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is the word of God.
Thanks for coming. I feel very honoured. There's lots of people that have made a special effort to come today, so I really appreciate that. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you that you are love. We thank you that you demonstrated love. As we read your word, Jesus, as you breathe life into your world, let us be a people that listen to the authority of your word and live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you can remember your first love. Might be the person sitting next to you, might not be. That's okay. When I started thinking about today's message, I knew that I was going to explain to you what I was going to do. But I actually wanted to explain to you why. Because I think sometimes the what is really easy. But the why is actually a really good story. The why and what changes us is actually really miraculous. I could very easily tell you that the reason why I'm going to Cambodia is that Jesus told me to go, which is true. I felt that he told me to do that. Or I could say to you that there's a massive need so I can use my skills to do it. But the story is bigger than that. The story is actually a story about how God has changed my understanding of what love is through understanding Jesus. I say this next bit very tentatively. I was preparing for this, and about 3 weeks ago, Jesus woke me up with this example in my head of a moment in time where I didn't understand what love was. My very first proper boyfriend, 18, you think you're in love? Hadn't said it to him yet. He was a Melbourne Tiger. Does anyone remember the Melbourne Tigers? Yeah, that just shows my age. He was a Melbourne Tigers fan. And we were at a basketball game and he was just like in the zone. You know, how people just get in the zone watching sport. And I remember thinking, if I say I love you right now, I will get his attention off the basketball game. So he's too obviously very focused on the basketball game. It will direct on me. So I said, I love you. And he literally kind of went, oh, I love you too. I never told anyone that story. But my understanding of love right in that moment was about me and what I got out of that exchange. And I think why Jesus woke me up with that picture was he wanted to say, Beck, I've changed you on the inside to understand love differently. Preface, I'm not perfect. I'm not Jesus. I don't understand it fully, but I understand it differently to that moment. See, when I started to actually meet the real Jesus, I was probably about 25. I'd grown up in a really great Christian family. I'd been around great teaching. But my understanding of Jesus was more like just reading his profile on a Facebook page. I knew all about him, but I didn't know him. It wasn't someone that we actually, you know, we weren't really friends. He stalk people, you know about them, about their life, what they're doing. You look at their photos, but you don't really know them. Because I started, and it is in conjunction with me starting here, as I started to actually learn more about Jesus, as I sat under teaching that taught me more about Jesus and what he did, as I read more of his word, as I sat with him in prayer, he started to show me that love looked a little bit different. Me, I love stick figures because they're simple. I'm a visual person. I started to understand that actually God poured out his love over us before he even knew us. Last weekend we got to celebrate. It was Easter last weekend, wasn't it? Yeah. Last weekend we got to, this has been a long week, we got to celebrate the love that Jesus has for us. Whether we know him or not, he still loves us. And that love from heaven showers down on us. We're undeserving of it, but we still are recipients of it. As I started to understand that more and actually experience it more, I started to see words like what the prophet Ezekiel spoke in the Old Testament. He was speaking to the Israelites. He was speaking God's promise to them that he will give them a new heart, a new spirit. He'll remove that stone heart and replace it with a new heart that is what God has willed, not self-willed. He'll put in his spirit into us. And I love this last bit. To make it possible for you to do what I tell you to do and to live out my commandments. God gives us everything we need to actually do what he asks us to do. So I started to see that as I sat in these spaces, my heart was slowly changing. My parents are incredibly biased. They will say that I was a nice person and a lovely person. They have to. They're your parents. And I was a relatively nice person. But there was still, and all of us know it, there's those dark parts of our heart. They're actually self-focused. And it was at a journey that God started to take me on where he started to shape and change my heart. He invested in my heart. He smoothed out the surfaces where things were jagged and broken and started to heal parts of my heart that were in a lot of pain. Love comes down from heaven. And when we experience that love from heaven, this is my attempt at animation, it never leaves us, and it leaves us changed. You cannot experience the love of heaven and stay the same. What God promises is that if we actually receive his love, if we open ourselves up to his love, if we experience his love, he'll actually give us everything we ever need to do the things that he asks us to do. Jesus was asked in his time by people that were actually trying to trick him. They were trying to ask him, well, you know, what was the greatest law? There was a lot of laws, over 400, I believe, in the Old Testament. And Jesus said, actually, the two most important is love God with all of your heart, soul and your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else sits under these two commandments. And I love that Jesus makes it simple. He doesn't make it complicated. We often there's a phrase I often use that I've stolen from somebody else, that the gospel is practical, it's simple, it's not complicated. Love God, love others. And God promises us that he actually gives us all that we need to do that. So as love comes down from heaven, we actually can honour God and love him back. And it's this endless love cycle, not the selfish love, the taking love that I thought about when I was 18. It's an endless love, a heavenly love, a real love that is selfless, that loves the world, that loves those in the world that are ignored. That's what we saw through the life of Jesus. God gives us this love through us to actually love the world, love our neighbours. I love the two songs that Heidi chose. I actually had nothing to do with the music today, and Heidi is just excellent. When we start thinking about how our heart changes and allowing our hearts to be changed, it gives us access to actually love others how God wants us to. In the lyrics that Heidi chose for us today in the two songs, For the Sake of the World, it says, for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. When we say those words, we're asking God to change us on the inside, that the others, wherever we are in the world, see God coming out. This is what love is. It's flowing through us like vessels. We're just carriers of his love. Sometimes there can be stuff in our lives that block that coming out. Jesus can easily deal with that. But the more we sit and receive his love, the more we are changed to give his love. The verse that was our reading today looks at the fact that true love, real love, is that God sent his son. The bit I find interesting is we also in this verse, part of God living in us is actually loving other people. And it's stepping into that. It's really easy to love, this is my dad's phrase, it's really easy to love lovable people. It is a lot harder to love like Jesus. But that's what God shapes us to do. He gives us the heart to do that. I sometimes thought that people who went overseas to care for people were like these super Christians who just were really awesome. And I've realized that actually God uses people everywhere. And people are people just trying to serve God where they are. And actually, God has just stirred their heart, changed their heart to love particular people groups, particular types of ministry. It might be Bible teaching, it might be prayer, it might be being a barista that speaks in love in a different community for a while. It's not always easy, but God calls us into loving others. This last bit of the verse, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us, always puzzles me a little bit. God doesn't need us, he is perfect. Yet he invites us into this partnership. And in that, as we love others, something happens in us with our relationship with God that actually we get kind of filled up as well. It's this weird, for the science nerds, positive feedback system that happens in the kingdom of God. He showers us with love. We love other people. it gets encouraging. We want to love God more. He showers more love. It just continues on. It's an incredible gift and an incredible space to stay in. But real love changes us. As love comes down and is sent up and sent out, we start to honour God and honour others by loving them. Now, for me, the way that I will try to the best of my ability to love the Cambodian people is, one, use all of the gifts and the skills that I've learned in Australia to be able to invest in that program. But it's also, I meant to bring the, Alf, can you chuck the dictionary up? Thanks. My dictionary, if anyone would like to pray over this as we leave, feel free, is to learn the local language. That will be a hard journey for me. But that's what it will cost to love others there and to meet them and honour them where they're at. It will be listening and meeting their needs where I can. It'll be walking with them, not doing things for them, but walking with them to respect and honour what they require. It will be praying with them. I love prayer. I get very excited about prayer. It's a great gift of the kingdom. And what it is an honour to be able to show others that you love them by simply a kind word or a prayer. It's not big. I started to read passages like this also in John. He likes to remind us that he was the apostle that Jesus loved the most. He said that when Christ laid down his life, our community, we lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and see a brother and sister in need and has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? It's hard to read. But actually, loving others and having compassion and mercy comes from the heart of God that he changes inside us. And it's real. It's not just words. Back here, the 18-year-old Beck, which none of you, actually, a good portion of this half of the room had the pleasure to know. It's not the words that you say or the speech. It's the things that you do, the choices that you make, the truth that you speak. That is what love is. Letting God's love speak out and through you. And we do that in community. I've had the blessing. Whew, okay, all right. Pre-warning, sometimes Beck cries. When you are in community and you experience community, it's such a joy. And part of my journey was, I was driving along one day. I don't even know why I was going to InterServe. Jane works for InterServe, so we might have been having coffee or lunch. I can't even remember what the context was. And I remember Jesus saying to me, "Why, Beck, are you choosing to try and do something by yourself going to Cambodia? My church and my family are everywhere. We do life in community." I'm like, oh, that sounds really reasonable. I do life and community here. I love community. I love being able to see God loving others through community. So I'm merely now stepping into the InterServe community, a group of people that are church, that are God's people in a different space. God blesses us with his love from heaven that we can bless others. He invests in us so we can invest in others, and we do that together. And that's such an encouragement, because the gifts that I have, the experience I have, is really different to the experience that Esther has, to the experience that Alfie has, to the experience that my mum has. And together we actually shine God's love in a really big way. And I get really excited about that because I firmly believe that the church is actually the answer to a lot of the problems in the world. God's love coming through the church is how the world will know true love, true healing, true restoration. What a world it would be if we as a community continue to just to shower out that love in our neighborhood, wherever we are. I had a teacher who shall remain nameless, who challenged us a couple of years ago to ask this simple question. It was at the end of a service one day. It's one of those kind of offhand things that you just kind of, Jesus, what are you doing today and how can I be a part of it? You kind of go, oh, that sounds like a really reasonable question. Don't ask this question of Jesus unless you're prepared to walk into the answer. Jesus wants to do amazing things through his people. I spent 15 years as a science teacher and I love biology. And one of the amazing things that I always ponder is there are 7 billion people-ish on, it's about 8 now. For the sake of a good story, let's go with 7 billion people in the world right now, and no one is shaped like you. God has formed you, made you, given you gifts, experiences, talents, knowledge that you can actually bless others with. And all it is asking Jesus, what are you up to today? And how can I be a part of it? What are you doing through me? What can I partner with you to do? And how can I be that for my neighbors? I started singing songs like this one, which is great. I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs. It's Hosanna. You start saying words like, break my heart for what breaks yours. Again, if you are not prepared to actually walk in that space, because God will honor that, if you give him your life and say, break my heart for what breaks yours, everything I am for your kingdom's cause, he will start to stir in you. And in these spaces, when you're starting to realize what it is to love God and love others, I started to realize what true joy is. See, Beck back here at 18, she looked nice on the outside. She clearly had some issues with relationships, but that's a side note. She wasn't happy. She wasn't happy at all because she didn't know the love of a father. But as I've experienced God's love and he's changed my heart and I've said to him, I will do it for your kingdom's cause, he's asked me to do some really unusual things. Cambodia was just the next step. I don't know what he will ask me to do after that. But I step into it knowing that he has given me everything that I will ever need to do that. He promised, in the words of Ezekiel, he promised to change my heart and give me everything that I need to do his commandments. One of my favorite places in the world is Cape Woolamai. This is not me at Cape Woolamai. This is a small child that I found on the internet. When we follow and start to love God and love others, our hearts start to shift that we want to follow Christ more. We want to step how he steps. It's not I don't know how to explain it, but it's like it's not forced. It's like you just want to. And so the picture that I got at the beginning of this year, as I was walking along the beach, was, I'd like to say I was running along the beach, but I wasn't. I was walking. I was walking along the beach, and I looked back, and I saw my footprints. Does everyone know that footprints poem? You know, someone was really angry because they only saw one set of footprints. There was supposed to be two, you and Jesus walking together. Look back, Jesus said, no, there's only one because I was carrying you. And I was reminded of that poem. Jesus and I were talking and Jesus said, there is one set of footprints, It's not because I'm carrying you. It's because you're stepping in my steps behind me. I go ahead of you and you follow what I do. You love God and you love others as I did. That's what it is to be a follower of Jesus. That's what it is to follow the commands that he says. That is what it is to accept that real love from heaven to pour out on others. I had a whole other sermon about worship and mission. I will save up for you for another time. But my one encouragement will be, you are a missionary right now. Anyone that's seeking to love other people is a missionary. We've kind of got this old kind of understanding of what missionary means. For some reason, they have to go overseas. They don't. There are people in our neighborhood here who need the love of God. There are people in your workplaces. There are people, literally your neighbors, who need the love of God. We are all missionaries for Christ to show that real love. And this is what we're built to do. We're designed to do this. This is what actually fills us, what actually gives us joy. Jesus didn't just say things for the sake of saying things. He knows what is good for us. And loving God and loving others is how we live out our full purpose. God loved the world and he pours his love all over the world. He invites us to partner with him to pour that love out wherever we are. He doesn't need us. It's just an opportunity for us to partner with him. And you get so much encouragement. I've got so much encouragement. Anyone who knows me and has I prayed with them, they know how excited I get, because when I pray with people, I get more out of it than actually the person receiving prayer. To be able to partner with God, it sounds really selfish now, doesn't it? So I'm back at that 18-year-old self. Because I get so encouraged to see how God works in people's lives, so encouraged to see him break people free, so encouraged that God would love people like that, that my faith is built up, the hope that I have is built up, and this is endless cycle. Now, specifically, God has started to build a passion probably over the last 10 years for me to working with people who are probably children more than likely, who are really disadvantaged in some way. Injustice is a real thing that God has stirred in my heart and I really struggle. It actually pains me. I do cry a lot anyway, but I cry a lot. For that, the injustice, particularly to children in the world. God has showered me with his love and changed and stirred that passion in me. But that might be different to what he stirred in you. He's also given me an abundant blessings of education, not just school, but learning, teaching, education here, education through small group, education through family, teaching me stuff about his love. He's given me really practical experiences. So over the last 7 years, I've taken 5 school trips overseas. Two to Bangladesh, one to Cambodia, two to Cambodia, one to Vanuatu, or been involved in those trips in some form. He's given me that experience that when I step into this role in Cambodia, I can be a blessing because I have knowledge that I can use to love others with. He's given me gifts and talents that I hope to use in lots of different ways. I feel really awkward that you felt like I was an encourager because I just don't see that in myself. It's awkward even to speak that out about yourself. I know sometimes Jesus has asked me to do that for people, but my hope is that he will use that encouragement gift, whatever that looks like, the same way in Cambodia, and he will. I know that he has given me a role with children in families to do this particular program with Rakan, but the gift of prayer will still be used to build his kingdom there. And already I've started to have conversations with the team about what that looks like. God gifts us in particular ways, particular experiences, uniquely set to you. And your purpose with the community around you is to pour out that love. You might be the only way that those people, whatever that combination looks like, know God's love. And are you prepared to step into it? I just like that it's in Mark and it's in Matthew. That's why I included it. Are you prepared to love God with all of your soul, with all of your mind and all of your strength? Are you prepared to let him change your heart? Are you prepared to let him invest in you so you can invest in others? And facilitating you loving your neighbour as yourself. I want to get to the end of my journey on earth, knowing to the best of my ability, and I will stuff it up because we all do, I try to do this. Because as I step behind Jesus, he says, follow me and do this. I try to the best of my ability to love where I am. For 6 months, I'm going to be in Cambodia. I won't scare my parents and say, who knows after that? I don't know where God is calling me after that. But wherever I am, I seek to try and love because God loved me first. Cambodia is in need. Some awful things happening in orphanages there. There's some really good stuff happening in orphanages too as they try and shape it a little bit differently. It's a really vulnerable space where some of the most vulnerable families and children are really just ignored. And it's something easy that as Australian schools and churches, we can just tweak. It's not even a big change. Changing our mindset just slightly to ensure that we're always loving people in a way that honours them as Jesus did. Rakan have a heart to see, particularly, these programs change. Children and families more broadly have a heart to see children in loving families. When we look at what Jesus lived out and look at how he honoured children, that is the heart of Christ for those children, to be in a family that loves them, cares for them and supports them. And my prayer is that God can use me in whatever way to encourage that process, that would be a love stamp that I would leave on Cambodia, God's imprint there through me. And I guess my challenge to you is, where is God stirring your heart to leave his imprint? If you ask Jesus, what are you doing today and how can I be a part of it? What might he say? What might he challenge you to step into? Or maybe you're at a point where you're like, I probably just need to know a little bit more about what God's love is. And if that's you, just my encouragement is to sit and say to Jesus, I'd like to know more. Because Jesus loves to work in spaces where people surrender. It's where people surrender and in our weakness that he gives the glory. So I tell my 18-year-old embarrassing love story this morning, which I'm sure Alfie Jenkins will continue to remind me of for the rest of my life. I don't say that story to belittle myself or to speak negatively over myself. But I share that story as a testimony of how God has changed me. It might not look like it on the outside, but he has changed my heart completely into how I understand love, real love from him, and understand how to actually his command to share that love. I want to honor God in that process and not me. I wonder what God wants to do for you. What does he want to change or challenge or show you? You are a missionary where you are. Don't be scared that he will ask you to go to Yemen. He probably won't. He might. Don't be scared. God shaped you for a purpose, and that's to love him and love your neighbor. What does that look like? Let me pray. Jesus, we honor you that you do change and transform hearts. Thank you that you've transformed mine. Father, I pray that as we as a church family think about how you love us to love others, I pray that you help us step out in faith to acknowledge what you're doing that day and how we can partner with you to do it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.